Welcome to the Two Preachers Podcast, where we talk our way through one of the greatest and yet one of the most challenging callings, leading in the local church. We'll talk about it all, the ups, the downs, highs, lows, victories, failures, rewards, challenges, and everything in between. My name is Ben James, and I'm the pastor of FCC Grayson, and I'm joined by my friend, Josh Schmidt, pastor of Burlington Baptist Church. We are co-hosts, co-laborers, and you'll quickly find out that we are also equally co-confused. But we would appreciate if you would take a moment to follow this show on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Also, please rate, review, and feel free to send us any comments, questions, or feedback that you may have. Now let's get into the show. Back with Josh Schmidt, my brother. Happy Valentine's Day. You're looking suave and debonair this morning.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, buddy. Have you got this thing figured out? Are you okay with your plans for your wife for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely. They're doing a missions fundraiser, where they are distributing a large quantity of chocolate-covered strawberries and cheesecake bites. So that will pretty much consume her day and well into her evening. So I will, I'll have a dinner awaiting her whenever she gets home. So it'll be cooked and ready. So yeah, I got some steaks marinating. Nice. So yeah. Yeah. How about you? What's going on in your world? Kids everywhere.
I'm going to be kids everywhere. And my Valentine's Day will be spent teaching her and the rest of my church through 1 Corinthians.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it's Paul's first letter of where he's issuing correcting, you know, and then you get into the second one of just like, as per my previous email, please, for everything holy, stop doing this.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything interesting before we get into the message, anything interesting happening up in Burlington?
Lots of baptisms, which is great.
That's fantastic.
God's been really good to us.
Yeah, great. So, you know, a couple episodes ago, Josh referred to my voice, you know, and I shared a little bit of a humorous story at a basketball game of being the face for radio, where there was a parent trying to backtrack very quickly on the agreeance of that, even though it is a true statement. It's not uncommon, you know, small town here in Grayson. And if there's a public microphone that's open, chances are I'm going to be behind it, you know, and all the way to the place of like where I've got some of our schools and stuff, elementary schools reaching out, asking me to do recordings of their sports rosters, things of that nature. So if you go to a public event, chances are you're going to hear my voice at some point. So it's not uncommon for me to be in a public place, at a place where I'm speaking and someone can't hear my voice. If it's like going through a drive-through, whatever, I've had those moments of hesitancy of where I make my order and somebody's like, are you the voice of the Raiders? Indeed, I am. Yesterday was a little bit of a new one, though, on me. Went to the gym after work and was down there, and a guy that I see frequently, he was on the phone with someone, and as we are, you know, I'm just kind of walking past him, he greets me, and I said, hey, man, how you doing? Hope things are going well. And there's this pause that I can hear on the other end of the line, and whomever he was speaking with, I heard her ask, is that the voice of the Raiders? On a phone conversation. So, face for radio, man. It's following me around.
Yeah, man. People know you. That's a good thing. That's how you should introduce yourself to always. People know my voice. Like, just want you to know that.
Yeah, people know my voice. Yeah, listen, I'm mayor of Grayson. Troy Combs, step aside. Step aside, my friend.
Step aside. We don't want to elect. We don't really want to elect you, Ben. We just want to elect your voice.
That's it. That's it. Just have me on all the recordings. Just, you know, have Troy do some lip syncing, you know, during his meetings or whatever.
Amen.
There we go.
Amen.
All right. So today we are going to be talking about lifespan of programs, the lifespan of programs in our church. And this is not something that I don't think we overtly think about frequently or discuss frequently, but it's one of those things that if you're leading a church is constantly kind of there, and under evaluations. So before we kind of get into, as Bilbo would say, the whither twos and the why fours, whenever you think about lifespan of programming or auxiliary ministries, things of like that, Josh, what comes to mind?
Well, it's important to remember that programs are how we carry out what Jesus has instructed us to do. And so while his instruction is infallible, sometimes the way that we carry that out differs based on our context. Mm. So what works in Burlington, Kentucky may necessarily not work in Grayson, Kentucky. And what works in Burlington, Kentucky may not necessarily work in India or across the world in some Christian setting. So mission is what we do, and the programs that we use to carry that out are very contextual. So, for example, just some of the things that my church does that another church may not do, we have an upward basketball program. That's something where kids come in and play basketball, where we are regularly sharing the gospel with them. We're teaching them how to be disciples through that. We have a feeding program for Boone County. These are programs. So these are extensions of the arms of the church. These are things that we do that are deeply contextual. They're based on the place that where we live, the people that we have, the resources that we have. And so that's going to differ for every single church. And it's just common sense to think that those programs would have a lifespan, because context changes in community. Like Burlington used to be deeply rural, a very small community. Now it's a part of the fastest growing county in the state of Kentucky and one of the fastest growing counties in the eastern part of the United States. So our context has changed entirely, which means that sometimes the way that we carry out the mission has to change through our programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the things that we endeavor here at First Church, where I'm at, is at the beginning, in December, through the beginning of the year, through January, each year, my staff and I will break a whiteboard out and write every ministry, every program, everything that we have going on under the umbrella of FCC Grayson. And we begin a little bit of an evaluation process. And we begin to ask, by asking the question, does this particular ministry, let's say if we're looking at the food pantry, okay, a ministry, a program that we have here that happens once a month, does this program, does this ministry fall under and serve the mission and the vision of the church? And we have to start asking some questions. If the answer to that question is yes, it does serve it, then you leave it alone. If it's there, if it's healthy, if it's going, if it's serving the kingdom, serving the church, serving the mission of it, man, let it be. Go, keep running. Keep running. Do your thing. If it's no, then I think there's a couple other questions we have to ask following that. And I think the first one is, can it serve the vision and the mission? As currently constructed, can it serve the vision and the mission of the church? If the answer is no to that, like we can't tweak it, we can't make adjustments, we can't reset it to the place that it is going to serve, then we have some hard decisions and some hard, maybe difficult conversations ahead of us that we'll talk about as we go through this episode. But if the answer if the answer to that is yes, it's not currently serving, but yes, it can, then let's get together. Let's talk about, let's pray about, let's get with all the leaders and let's figure this thing out as to what we need to change to make it happen. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about this episode.
So would you say, Ben, that the mission and vision of your church is something that you guys have formally written down, you talk about, it's compelling, it's something that's repeatable, that your people know and work on?
Yeah, and that's a really important part of this, because if you've got programs and ministries but don't have a clearly defined and well-communicated vision and mission statement, then you're basically just asking them to throw darts at a moving target. so yeah, to speak. Right. So I think it'd be good for us to take just a few moments to clarify this vision and mission statements, because those are important. You know, it's not just a clickbait kind of cliche church thing that we need to have vision and mission statements. Yeah, the vision statement of First Church here is your story isn't over yet. Hope starts here. And that's communicated verbally from the stage in some shape, form, or fashion. Almost every service, it's hung on banners in the lobby that you see as you come in. It's in our Family Life Center. And then the mission of that, you know, the mission statement is to seek to love, honor, and obey God's commands to make disciples by connecting with others, sharing the gospel of love, you know, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and preaching his word.
That's good.
So those are the vision and mission statements we have here. I would like for you to speak to our fellow pastors, leaders, ministers here about the importance of vision and mission statement, and maybe the difference, and not only the difference, but how they can connect as well, how they serve one another.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons it's important for you to have a mission statement specifically, and then we'll move to vision, is because, like all throughout Scripture, there are commands of Jesus. There are commands in the Old Testament that we memorize things about God and what we are, and we verbalize what we're supposed to do for him. Thinking of like Psalm 78, which says we will teach our children the commands. Mm. So there's just a continual reminder of what it is that we're supposed to do as a part of the family of God. What your mission statement does for you is it clarifies your church's purpose. So it gives you an opportunity to constantly articulate to your people, this is why we exist. That's what a mission statement is. This is why we exist. So yours was clearly repeatable, memorizable. It was memorable. It was easy, and it was pulled straight from Scripture. So you could literally take the marching orders of the church, which is Matthew 28, mm-hmm. 18 through 20, and the Great Commission, and you could just completely put it in your context, whatever verbiage is helpful for your church. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's our mission. So every church's mission statement ought to be pretty similar, because the reason we exist is to make disciples. Amen. So to follow Jesus and help others follow Jesus. A vision statement is just a little bit different. So while a mission statement is why we exist, a vision statement is this is what it's going to look like us for to carry out our mission. So it's clarified. The way I always thought about it, I read a book recently called Advanced Strategic Planning by Aubrey Malthers, and we can link that in the show notes. It's very, very good. But the idea of it is, what will your church look like in 10 years if you carry out your mission well? Hmm. That's what a vision statement is. It is a picture, a snapshot of what your church is going to look like as it carries out its mission. So it's going to provide energy for your church. So the mission statement is something that your church should be doing, and the vision statement is a snapshot of what that looks like. It's really easy for churches or pastors to get those two things confused or conflate them together, and they are both equally as important. So providing a mission statement for your church reminds them of the reason they exist. This is what we do. And a vision statement gives them a picture of what the community, what the church, what that's going to look like for them as they carry out their mission. So mission statements generally shorter, vision statements typically longer, not always. The activity for a mission statement is knowing, and the activity for a vision statement is seeing. So mm-hmm. This is what it's going to look like for me to see a clear vision. Just an example, a mission statement from the Bible. This is God's mission for Moses in Exodus 3:10. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That's God's mission for Moses. This is what you do. And a vision for Moses that God gave him in Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. That sounds like a delicious land.
Dude, I'm kind of ruling here.
I'm in, right?
Yeah.
A land where bread will not be scarce and you'll be lacking nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. So go do this, and this is what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. So this is what we do. This is why we exist. And this is what it looks like for us to exist. Mission, do, vision, see. That's the way that I always remembered it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you for that. That's very, very helpful. And I think that there's just so many, especially in more rural contexts, that they're operating in a lot of ambiguity when it comes to vision, mission, just kind of trying to be all things to all people, so to speak. So I'm glad we took those couple moments there to help. I hope that's kind of given you brothers maybe some framework as you're maybe leading your congregation, leading your elders, your deacons, however your church is structured. If you don't have currently a vision and mission statement, I encourage you to prayerfully put that into consideration for your church. Seek the face of God with your other leaders to develop that, because that gives you a good standard of operation, so to speak.
Amen.
So getting back a little bit, kind of circling back around to evaluating different programs and ministries, we've talked about asking the question of, does it serve these that we just talked about, the vision and the mission? If yes, and keep running. Run that race, man. If no, then put it under some more evaluation. So let's consider the programs and the ministries that the answer is initially no. And then let's talk about maybe some approaches that we would recommend taking in both situations, because there's two different answers here also. Is like, if there's a no, then the possibility is we just need to kind of reframe some things, maybe tweak some things. So let's talk about that first. What are maybe some of the approaches that we would recommend if we're going to a ministry lead or program over, you know, a director, and saying, hey, we love what you're doing, we love the concept of it, but we feel like it needs some refocusing. How would we approach that? Mm-hmm.
I think so. One of the ways that we do that, Ben, first is through our preaching ministry. And by that, I don't mean that we say from the pulpit, hey, we're getting
we're
ready
not
to evaluate
saying that.
Yet. Let me just single out this individual and their ministry. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, if you will preach a compelling mission statement for your church to let them see constantly. I think you guys do a great job of this, Ben, constantly talking about what we do and what a win looks like. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you're doing that, that will set the foundation for you to have to start that conversation. So once that culture, mission culture, is built, I think people start to realize it on their own, and they desire to be ministry effective because they have the same Holy Spirit that you and I do. And so that same Holy Spirit will lead them to desire to see their ministry effective. So preaching that is a big help, number one. Number two, going to them and explaining to them that we have an overall mission for the church, and that we're a team, and that teams sometimes have to evaluate things to make sure that all the parts are working together right is really helpful. It's also helpful to have another person or group of people along with you in this, so it's not just coming from you, so they don't think it's your own personal hobby horse or something like that, but multiple leaders. And I've always felt like, Ben, these conversations are best had informally, not formally. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to have a principal's meeting, bring the person into the office type deal, maybe have coffee with the individual. And this is one of a number of things that you're talking about as you're doing soul care for them. But I think most people, Ben, once they hear your compelling mission for the church, once they see what that vision is, and once you explain that ministry realignment sometimes has to happen because although the mission doesn't change, the way that we carry out the mission has to sometimes, I think they respond to that.
Agreed, 100%. And that's, you know, in any form of tweaking, adjusting, or even sunsetting a ministry at some point, that never lose sight of the importance of that personal connection. Because if, you know, if you're talking to someone about something that they have poured their energy, their heart, their soul, their passion into, and this kind of segues a little bit into the importance of our roles in leading and shepherding not only the programs and ministries themselves, but the program and ministry leaders, because you could very well be looking at someone and communicating with someone who has drawn a great deal of significance from this ministry, from this program, and not in a negative way, so to speak, but they poured themselves into this, and don't just pull the rug out from under them, you know?
Yeah. I also want to say that make sure that it's not just your own preferences that are mandating the death of a program. That's easy to do. I can think of a time at my previous church where I wanted to kill something just because I saw it as an energy drain that was not aligned with our mission. And honestly, in retrospect, it was my own sinful desire for that program to not succeed in a way that would distract from some of the other areas where we were succeeding.
Yeah.
And it took foresight. It took me looking back to see that. And I apologized to that individual after I went to them and said that we needed to kill this. Sometimes it's our own selfish desires or our own inability to see worth, and we need to bring other people in on that. That's why you should have a leader, a group of leaders, elders, pastors, whatever it is, whatever your polity is, that it's not just you making those decisions, because you are fallible. Incredibly fallible. And so, man, don't kill every program just because you don't think it is beneficial, because you may be wrong.
Yeah. Newsflash, right? You may be wrong. And that leads me to a word that we've not discussed yet, but ego. Yeah. I mean, the pastoral ego can sometimes really be a hindrance to us, because I think that what you're talking about there is, don't set out to kill something just because it may not be your preference. But also sometimes it's the things that the pastor holds the dearest that we'll hold on to the longest. And sometimes the things that the ministry or the program that we deem important, or our spouse deems the most important, could be the very thing that needs the greatest depth of evaluation. And that constant being open to the fact of what you mentioned there, that we are fallible. It's not about our ego. It's not about our preferences or what we want to see done. It's about what's most effective for, and, you know, making disciples, building up the kingdom of God, and showing his love and spreading his gospel.
Amen. Amen.
So a little out of step, I'm going to circle back on something, a little bit of an approach. Just, I don't know why it didn't dawn on me as I was kind of curating the show notes here. But an instance of this that happened a couple years ago with us is, we had a ministry that we were, myself and the elders and the staff in our evaluation time, we were really kind of on the borderline of, you know, does this need to be, do we need to sunset this? Do we need to work on this? What do we need to do? And we were really on the border of that. And myself and another, you know, and a brother elder brought in the people that were the most, that were leading the ministry. And we were just having some conversations with them of just saying, you know, hey, this is where we're going. And we talked to them just kind of in passing before that. But what we did was we set the mission statement of the church in front of everyone and said, let's look at the elements of this mission statement and let's check off beside each one the areas that this program, this ministry is being effective in. And there were none. And that really burdened the leadership of that ministry. Like they hadn't seen it. They hadn't realized it. And at that point, they said, when this ministry started, we were doing these things. We don't know how we got off track. We don't know where it went wrong, where the turns happened. But let us make some course corrections here. And they took it and they ran with it. And now it's, again, one of the more vibrant things that we have going on here that's checking off all the boxes in that ministry statement. So just the approach that you take is so very important to shepherd the people through it, because even if it becomes a necessity to kill something, to sunset a ministry or a program, handle that with honor. Handle that with honor in your Amen. Dealings with them, and maybe even celebrate it.
Yeah,
as you're absolutely. Maybe sunsetting, would you have any ideas, some things to throw out there for us that could possibly we could say, hey, we're unfortunately kind of having to move away from this, but how can we do so in a way that it honors the ministry itself, the program, it honors the people behind it, but we also celebrate what it's done.
Yeah, I think just some simple ways. Again, the primary way that you're communicating to your people is through the pulpit. Talking about that, having a time of recognition for all of the good things that have happened through that ministry, maybe a video, maybe a testimonial from different people who are impacted by it. We do a ministry here at Burlington Baptist Church, and we're not sunsetting this, but one of the ways that we're celebrating this week is it's called the Dollar Club. Every year or every Sunday, everybody brings in an extra dollar to their tithe, and that money is just given away every single month. The bank account's emptied out, and in 10 years, they've raised $250,000 doing that.
Wow.
And so our 10-year celebration is this Sunday, so we're going to spend some time celebrating all of the cool things that have happened. I should have got you to dub the voice of this video. That would have actually been super helpful.
Yeah.
I just thought about that. But anyway, it's going to be a time of celebration during the morning service. I think that's really important. It makes the people feel valued and cherished and celebrated. And it also maybe will redirect their energy to a new ministry. We're not sunsetting the person. We're sunsetting the program. That's very important. So maybe it will, they will align in another way to the mission in a new ministry. This is a new season for them. Celebrate the season that they've been in and encourage them to find a new path, a new trail of ministry for that mission.
Amen. I think that's the most important part that you just hit on there at the end is like, if you have to sunset it, you're sunsetting the program or the ministry. You're not sunsetting the person. Or the people group that's behind it, actively shepherd them into that next season. You know, disciple them through that process. That's part of what you do, my friends. That's part of what you do.
Amen.
So any last parting words, advice, anything that you would like to add for us here today?
Yeah. Make sure your mission is actually the mission of Christ for your church. Mm-hmm. We can get busy doing a lot of things and we can very quickly lose what we're actually supposed to be doing. And so, like we've said, if you will have a compelling mission statement for your church, it's a good reminder. Constantly communicate that. There's a church nearby to where I'm at right now, that has blown up over the weekend during the Super Bowl because of their Super Bowl service that they had. And it was like secular music, tailgating during the service, halftime show, that kind of thing. I'm not knocking on that church. Every church has their own thing and they do their own thing. But it's apparent just from kind of looking into it that that's what might happen when you lose the point of why you exist. Mm. If you're not careful, you will quickly find your way into mission drift. We naturally mission drift because of the attacks of the enemies because of the difficulty of the mission to carry it out, we can very quickly drift away and do things that might seem good, but they're not the best things. And so that's why we carry out the mission. So let me just highly encourage you, pastors, ministry leaders, know what your mission is and laser focus on it, lock down on it, and let it be the lens through which you evaluate everything in your church, including yourself.
Yes. Amen. Make sure you have that true north. 100% for sure.
Amen.
Good deal. Speaking of the Super Bowl, did you watch? What did you think of the game?
Yeah. There was a game. Mm-hmm. I watched it. My favorite part about the Super Bowl was when it was over. Mm-hmm. Not because of the outcome, just because so I got to see
all the interviews and the celebration and.
Yeah, I was really happy for, in all seriousness, I'm very happy for you, Ben. I know that it's been a really hard season for you now, having won, three out of the last four Super Bowls or something like that.
Yeah. In this world, you will have troubles, my friend.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so I'm just hoping that the Lord would continue to allow you to have this good season for a couple more months, and then Patrick Mahomes would retire in the summer.
And then Burrow comes back for your boys, right?
Listen, amen.
Game changer.
Glory to God.
Dude is a game changer. Listen, let me tell you my reaction to the end of the Super Bowl. Okay. Again, long time Kansas City fan. I'm sitting there in my chair. I'm watching it. They score the touchdown. I clap my hands. I'm happy. And I look at my wife and go, I'm going to bed. It was well past my bedtime at that point. So
yes,
that was my out of control kind of celebration for the Super Bowl victory.
I like it, man. Did you have any good Super Bowl appetizers or anything like that? It's always my favorite part.
Carrots.
Oh, good.
I had some carrots.
Yeah. I thought you were looking especially like a horse today, so that's perfect.
I'm glad you went with the horse and not the King James version of the other species of the gender there. So, yeah, but anyhow, all right, folks, it's early in the morning. We're still getting coffee in us,
amen.
But you know, the game is still strong. Amen. All right, well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope that this has been a blessing. If you have any questions, comments, would just like to reach out to us. Listen, we would love to partner with you, your church, your ministries in prayer, and we would love to hear from you. You can drop a comment on this episode. You can reach us at thetwopreacherspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear you get some feedback. Josh, will you pray for us, and we'll wrap this up, please.
Absolutely. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you've given us churches to serve. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that's listening, as they listen to this. We just pray, Lord, that this would be a blessing to them. This would not be an additional thing that they feel like they have to do in their church, but they would see the necessity of leaning into the mission. Lord, would you help our churches not drift from our mission? Would you help us to have a desire to make disciples and to teach them the things that you have taught us? We pray most of all, Lord, that our churches would glorify your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.